I'm very happy now to welcome back to the Radio Cafe Dottie Indyke. She is Executive Director of Creativity for Peace, and we are joined by two young leaders, Shirit Milikovsky and Dima Youssef. Welcome, ladies, to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
So tell us about Creativity for Peace, Dottie. This is an organization that's been going on for 12 years, which is a really nice long time for this work.
Well, it's a nice long time, I guess, except, unfortunately, there's no peace between Israel and Palestine yet. Yes, our organization is based here in Santa Fe. We started in 2003. We operate also in Israel and Palestine. Our purpose is to train the next generation of women leaders in Israel and Palestine. Our work is based on the idea that an enemy is a person whose story you haven't heard. It starts with a three-week summer camp here in New Mexico, which we are in the middle of right now. And at the camp, we have 16 first-time girls, 8 Jewish Israeli, 8 Palestinians. We start with teaching them basic communication skills like authentic speaking and compassionate listening. And they tell the stories of growing up in violence and conflict. And they listen to each other's stories, and they learn a lot about the other side they had no idea about. And that's where the work starts. And then it continues year-round in Israel and Palestine with a leadership training program for our young women to give them the skills they need to be leaders and peacemakers.
Now, the two of you, Shirit and Dima, you came to this work some years ago here in New Mexico?
Yeah.
How did you find out about it and get involved? You're Palestinian.
Yes. So my friend in high school, she got involved in Creative for Peace a year before me. So she kept telling me about the camp for a whole year. Then I decided to get involved in the organization.
And so you applied and went through a whole process, which I take it is a rather involved process.
Yeah, but for me, they decided to... I didn't apply at first. They decided to take a passing girl from Gaza, but she couldn't get her visa to travel from Palestine to the U.S. So they needed a girl very fast and a girl who speaks English. So then I had an interview, and that's how I got in there.
And you, Shirit?
Hi. So I live in Sderot, which is a city in the south of Israel, and we suffered a lot from the conflict. So one of the board member came to my school and introduced this organization, and I decided that it's a good opportunity for me to come and to meet the other side. So that's what happened. I joined Creativity for Peace in 2009. I was a camper this year, and then I decided to continue for the Young Leader Program, which already involves 5 years.
Now, what was it like for each of you? I mean, had you known any, as a Palestinian girl, known Israeli girls your age, and had you known, as an Israeli, known Palestinians?
For me, no. I didn't know any other Israeli girls, even though I have an Israeli passport, and I can visit Israel, but I don't meet... Israeli girls or guys. I only meet people who work at the mall, or especially the soldiers on the checkpoints or at the airport.
For me at school, we had some seminars which included Israeli and Palestinian people, but it was just, it happened only once, so usually on a daily basis I do not used to meet the Palestinian people, because my city is not a mixed city, so it's just Israelis.
So what was it like for each one of you when you came to New Mexico and suddenly you were involved in dialogues? It was half and half, and of course everybody is bringing not only their own lives and their own family lives, but this violent history, or history in the making, going on around you at all times, and suddenly you're talking to somebody from quote-unquote the other side. What was like the first day? What was it like?
For me, it was extremely hard. It was hard for me just to sit in one room with the Israeli girls and to share our personal stories and how the conflict affected us. So at first, it was extremely hard. I couldn't listen to them. And I was really scared that it would stay the same for the whole camp. but it changed in time.
What about you, Sheree?
For me, I think that it was really, really hard. At the beginning, I didn't speak and I didn't share much, and I really felt like I'm responsible for the situation, and it was hard to handle it. But after we have learned the tools of how to speak and how to listen, I feel much better, and I felt the safe zone to share my stories, and also I felt really comfortable to listen to their pain.
What are some of those tools, Dottie, that you are teaching or that your group is teaching for speaking and listening in these, specifically in these dialogues?
Well, there are a lot. One of them, there's a whole set of guidelines that we talk about. What does it mean to be a good listener? If you're listening to something that someone is saying that makes you so angry and so hurt, or you're thinking to yourself, oh, you know, they don't suffer like we suffer. I don't even want to listen to what they have to say because they don't know anything about what suffering really is. They're not really listening. So we talk a lot about what does it mean to be really open to listening, and what do you do? How do you do that when you're so emotionally charged by what the other person is saying? We also teach about speaking, how important it is to say, I this, I feel this, I experience this, I think this, as opposed to saying all of us Israelis think this, all of us Palestinians we're like this, or all of you Israelis are like that. Because then what happens is the other side stops listening. First of all, it's not an accurate statement to say all of you Israelis or Palestinians feel anything. Each one of you feels a different thing. And so it has a lot to do with creating a safe space, understanding that what they say to each other is not going to get taken out of the dialogue room, and having them practice speaking about their own personal experiences as opposed to talking about politics. We don't negotiate. We're not debating. It's not that. We're actually speaking about what we feel, what we have seen, and what we have felt. And in that way, no one can argue with you, because it's not a debatable point what your experience is. And I think where the healing really starts is when they sit in a circle together and one girl is telling her story and everyone in the whole circle is crying. And the girl, whether she's Israeli or Palestinian, looks around the circle and sees that everyone cares about her. And there's a lot of healing that just starts there. And so that's the beginning. And then as they get more advanced in our program, they have to learn a lot about managing their feelings in very stressful situations. Like, even for our young leaders who have had multiple years of experience doing public speaking, doing these kind of interviews like we're doing with you, they still get triggered by each other. They still have feelings, like, especially with what's going on back home right now. I mean, and they have to manage those feelings. And that is difficult, I think, for anyone, never mind a young person.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about conflict resolution or whatever, but this is conflict management, which is a different thing, and which, frankly, every single person on this planet could probably use some more skills.
Absolutely. I mean, I notice myself how triggered I get. Dima and I were having a conversation yesterday, and I really wanted to listen to what she was saying, but I had strong feelings, and I noticed myself interrupting her in the middle of when she was talking, and I stopped myself, and I thought, no, that's not the point here. So I said, let me listen to what you have to say, and then hopefully you'll listen to what I have to say. So I have to practice at 62 years old. I still have to practice. And I do think a lot of Americans are terrible listeners, terrible. They mostly want to talk about themselves. We talk in dialogue about how it's not a good listener if what you're thinking while someone else is talking is, as soon as she finishes talking, this is what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Or while she's talking, I'm thinking, I'm really hungry. I'd like to go and get some candy. You know, I mean, that's not good listening either. So, yes, I think that given the situation that they're living in, given how much they both sides feel pain, how upsetting this whole conflict is, I think listening, being able to listen to the other side tell her story is extremely difficult.
We're talking to Dottie, Sheree, and Dima from Creativity for Peace. Now, you two, growing up in Israel and Palestine, have had your own your own stories and the your own ways that you've been affected by this conflict. Would you be willing or able to share some of what you actually have brought from your countries?
Yeah, sure. As a Palestinian living in the West Bank, I face a lot of horrible events, even when I was a baby. But for now, like a couple of months ago, my friend, he was in a protest, and an Israeli soldier just shot him, and he died. In this conflict, right now, like what is happening right now back home, I lost 6 people that I know in one night in Gaza. So it is very, very hard to deal with what is happening back home because, as I said, I face horrible stuff almost every single day. But that's why I'm here, because I believe in change and I believe in peace.
As an Israeli, growing up in Sderot, which is really by the border with Gaza, is really, really difficult. I think that there is no day in my life that I do not think about the alarms which comes before the rockets fall in my city. And I always feel that I need to prepare my next step because I don't know what happened in a few seconds from now. And I feel really, really bad for the situation. As one who served in the army 2 years, I have many soldiers friends. And to wake up in the morning and to see the list of the dead soldiers that are published, it's really make me feel scary that I really hope not to see someone that I know. But it really breaks my heart, this situation, because I feel that they're my friends and they're my family. And I really don't want those innocent people to get hurt.
It strikes me that, I mean, there are so many people everywhere who are traumatized. In this country, we have women who've been abused. Everywhere we've got different kinds of trauma. What is so striking about the stories that you were telling at camp and at Creativity for Peace is that it's not in the past, it's in the present. It's what's happening today. You're living it, and how to handle that, and ultimately how to change it, how to make a world where this isn't happening. I know that's part of the goal of what you're doing. Is that something that you two as young leaders think about, or is it more like just let's get through the day?
No, we really think about a future. I think that so grateful for the opportunity that I have right now in this situation to sit next to Palestinian girls and to see that she understands my pain, and also to hear her story and to understand her pain. And actually we're doing a lot of activities of thinking about projects that we want to do in Israel and Palestine. For example, to help the families who lost their sons and to send them a CDs about how to handle with the situation emotionally and socially, or how to help Gaza's children, who's innocent people who get hurt, to bring them food, to volunteer things, to help in hospitals.
As Shreed said, we really do think about the future because this conflict has been like over 60 years, and for sure we can't just change it like in one day or in one month. So definitely if there's going to be a change, which I hopefully will happen, we'll change in the future. And that's our job in Creativity for Peace, is to keep trying and to work even harder and harder to achieve peace.
One of the things that you do besides the dialogues is art classes, in which you, I mean, I've seen some of the results of these things. Sometimes they're poems and drawings and sculptures and land art and things like that. What is it like to participate in those in terms of the whole larger project that you're engaged in?
Even though I'm not creative or I don't really like art very much, but I think that it is extremely helpful. In the art classes, we used to create things or make different things every day that reflects our emotions and our thoughts about the dialogue that we had at that day. And for some people, or for most of the campers, the dialogue is extremely hard and they get very emotional. So the art class is like an art therapy for them, where they can like put all their emotions in something creative.
And do you feel different afterwards?
For sure. Even though, as I said, like, I don't like art, but I know that it works.
Well, I can share something that happened in our first session of art. I came as a young leader, and I knew that I need to be a like role model for those campers, so I have to participate in this art session. But I didn't want to do some kind of art, but I just looked at the camper and I saw them picking up materials, so I decided to do it too. And I really picked up materials, and at that session we're supposed to express our feeling and our thoughts, and for me at that moment I felt many doubts about my personal life, and I felt really confused because of the situation. And I really decided to concentrate and just to release all my feeling. And I felt really, really good after this. And also when I shared it in front of the campers, as they do it in front of me, I felt that they listened to me and there is a place to my story.
I would think that one of the things that you have to deal with as the leaders of the camp is there will be a moment when somebody has a total meltdown and the group thing doesn't work. What do you do then?
There are always meltdowns. There are meltdowns at every level in the organization. There are meltdowns while we're in camp. The campers have meltdowns. The young leaders at camp have meltdowns. The staff has meltdowns. And then there are meltdowns, of course, for the rest of the year back home in Israel and Palestine. It isn't just here. Meltdowns are part of the process. At camp, unless there's some kind of breakdown, there usually isn't a breakthrough. I mean, there always is a breakdown and there always is a breakthrough. It looks different for every group of girls. But we have staff, our staff is trained in doing this kind of work and dealing with young women's emotions. I mean, we're basically supporting young women in their feelings and trying to help them to channel those feelings in productive ways. But we absolutely encourage every young woman in our program at whatever level to continue to express feeling, even if it's not so pretty in the moment, even if it means a lot of crying or, going into your room and laying down and closing the door or screaming and yelling. I mean, we try really hard not to on purpose hurt one another, but we definitely feeling is a very big part of our program.
I went out there the other day for the first time ever because I'd never seen the camp. I have different girls on almost every year, and you come back year after year, Dottie. And what I was struck by was how beautiful and devoid of people the land is, and that must be such a big contrast to, I mean, you both live in areas that are really population, I mean, there's a lot of people around, and I just felt like this is a land that can absorb a lot and that can kind of give a lot of peace just by being, standing in it and breathing that air.
I agree with what you said. I feel that this is the most beautiful place, and it suits us really well. I think that it's a neutral place for both sides, and even one of the Palestinian girls said that at camp she finally feels like she lives a normal life.
Yeah, nature is a very important part of the program. Being able to be in that serene environment, looking at those beautiful mountains, looking at the sky at night and during the day, feeling, listening to the birds, having that quiet. I think that's actually a very important healing part of the program.
So what happens, okay, so you go to camp for the first time, you go through your campers and creativity for peace, then you go home. What happens there?
As a camper, when you finish the camp and you go home, the staff do like two meetings. One meeting like back home, usually in Israel, where they bring all the Palestinian Israeli campers of that year, and they have like a couple of dialogues, and like it will be similar to the camp here, but back home. And like they do this because it's very hard to come to the camp, come to New Mexico where everything is fine, especially the last couple of days of the camp. Like, all the Palestinian Israeli campers are friends and they love each other and they're happy together. And then when they go home, which is the reality where it's exactly the opposite, where the Palestinians and Israelis are still fighting and killing each other. So it's hard, but the meeting is very important because it brings the campers back again together and remind them of what they learned in the camp. And after that, they have a meeting with all the campers from the previous years, with their mothers, and yeah.
Do you find that you've gone through these art projects and dialogues and quiet and becoming friends with each other, and then you go back, as Dima said, to a place where it's not like that. Are you able to use your skills back in Israel? Do people kind of pick up on some of the piece that you've learned or some of the conversational skills that you've learned?
Yes, I think that first, all the girls that are here, we're doing a pre-camp meeting where the family come to hear what's all about. And I think that first, without the help of the supportive families, we could have not done this. So I think that the family really supported the campers when they came back home with the new tools that they've learned. They help us to handle with the situation. And as Dima said, Creativity for Peace lead us all the way along and help us to deal with it, because it's really, really hard to handle situation. And for example, to go through checkpoints and handle racism, it's hard because it makes you feel, what am I doing? Like, why do I need this in this reality? But that's the place of Creativity for Peace, to remind us the skill that we've learned and to help us, and especially the family and the organization with all the previous campers that are now young leaders. We really help and support each other.
What is the job of young leaders? What do you do as a young leader?
Our job is to basically support and help the campers and be like their big sisters. Because as we said before, that they're gonna have they're gonna fight and they're gonna have problems with each other, so they should feel free to come to us and we can help them, or at least we try to help them. We also have our own dialogues, like the young leaders together, where we talk about the conflict and our personal stories. We do a lot of events and like public speaking events and interviews like this, where we tell the community about the conflict in our organization, Creativity for Peace.
They also, when they go back home, they also do some speaking in their own communities, in their own schools. They come to our trainings. They also, we have two young leaders who are leading a project in Israel now, where they're working with about 8 or 10 young women from Accra, Israel, half of them Jewish and half of them Arab, and the whole workshop, it's a series of reconciliation kind of techniques like we use at camp, and there it's being led by young leaders. So, and then we have programs here in New Mexico, actually, in October. Sharit did one last October. We have another one this October, where three young leaders will come from Israel and Palestine and talk to high school kids here in Santa Fe and lead a workshop for high school girls on transforming conflict. So their jobs at camp are one thing, then they have training, and they have jobs for the organization as a whole, both at home and in the United States. And they also... Their roles also are expanding. We have one former camper who's a dialogue facilitator in training at camp this summer. One of our former campers is the coordinator of our programs in the West Bank. So there's actually opportunities for young leaders to grow into actual positions with our organization.
Has the work that you've done at Creativity for Peace influenced the direction that you think you might take your lives as adults, like what you think you would want to do in the future?
For me, yeah, for sure. Now I finished my first year in college and I'm studying peace studies and international relations.
Where are you studying?
In Oregon, Eugene, Oregon.
Okay.
So even though before I got involved in Creativity for Peace, I was very interested in politics, but Creativity for Peace like led me to exactly what I want to study, which is peace studies. I actually have a scholarship from Creativity for Peace to study in Eugene, Oregon, with an Israeli girl that is also involved in Creativity for Peace. Her name is Yara.
The scholarship actually is, the money actually comes from Lane Community College in Eugene. Lane offered to Creativity for Peace girls the opportunity to do a two-year full-ride scholarship in peace studies. So the money comes from the school, but it was made available through our organization and for our girls.
For me, I think that I really grew up with this organization. Since I was a child, I really used the tool that I've got from Creativity for Peace, and I think that this is one of the things that helped me to get into a position of a commander in the army. I felt...
You're a commander in the army?
Yeah. I was a commander in the Navy, and I had 20 soldiers beneath my responsibility. And I felt really mature. I felt that I can speak with confidence in front of people. I really felt, thanks to Creativity for Peace, that I can lead change, that I can lead girls after my ideas and after my feelings. I've learned how to bring my message in a respectful way that people will understand. And also now, after I released from the army, I decided to go and study pharmacy, and I hope to get in a really high position so I can share.
Pharmacy?
Yeah. So I can share in university my feeling and my thought as I did in the army, because although the army is not everything is acceptable to say there, but I feel really confident, and I feel that I have a supportive society that can listen to what I'm doing and to respect this and understand why I'm doing it.
When you were serving in the military, did you ever find yourself in a situation where you came in conflict with Palestinian people?
No. Most of the girls, they're doing a position of social help and like office documentary help. So I didn't get to meet Palestinian people.
It seems to me that part of the reason the conflict stays in place, and there, I'm not a historian, and there are so many reasons conflicts stay in place, but people have prejudicial ideas, racist ideas about the other side. How have those, if you had those ideas yourselves, been challenged by this camp, and then how do you bring that back?
For me, when I first came to the camp, I thought that all the Israelis are racist, because the Israelis, as I said before, the only Israelis that I meet are the soldiers on the checkpoints or at the airport, which they don't treat me very well because I'm just a Palestinian. So I thought the Israelis are racist, and because of the wall that we have, I thought that they never want peace. They never even thought about having peace between the Palestinians and Israelis. So that's why I was really angry, and it was really hard for me to listen to the Israelis. But as I got get to know the campers, Israeli campers, and I started feeling that we are similar. We are both like young girls, and we both believe in peace. And what is happening in Israel and in the army, these girls are not the people who are doing them or are doing all of this. So I understand now that there's the people who I meet and the soldiers at the checkpoints, and there's the normal people, the citizens, that some of them really actually want peace.
For me, as a child who grew up in Sderot, I felt always that most of the Palestinians want to kill me or to hurt me. I felt scary from them. I was afraid. But I still believe that we're all humans, and there's people on the other side that really want peace, and they're innocent people who's getting hurt. So I really wanted to join this organization, and the idea, one of the ideas of the organization is the enemy who's someone whose story you haven't heard. And this is what I felt most of the time, like they're my enemies, although I didn't hear their story and I didn't know them only from the media. So after I met those girls, I understood that the situation is not black and white, and there are many people who believe in peace and want peace, and I also one of those people that I really wanted to achieve peace.
It's so cool going up to this camp because, I mean, it's teenage girl energy. And so all of these girls, and all of them are so, like, beautiful and energetic and creative and doing things and talking with each other. And you know, these are such incredibly important formative years because when a young woman at the age of 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, in the early 20s, finds her intelligence and her power, she can do anything. And training, like, a generation, it's a tiny number compared to the amount of people who live there, but training year after year these people who essentially are going back and being not only peacemakers, but women peacemakers, it seems like a really big part of what could be a peace process that doesn't look like these sort of non-peace, sort of phony peace processes that keep on happening.
Well, that's a really important statement you just made, and there's a lot in there to talk about. But essentially, number one, we think that women are the future leaders and peacemakers and have the potential of doing things differently. We also teach that if you come from your head, you get what you have now.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, actually, some of what goes on now actually doesn't just come from the head. It actually comes from a place of extreme rage and pain that is unmanaged. You know, it is. That's one of the reasons why it's so important to teach about how to manage your feelings. Because if you just react when you're angry, that's when you kill someone.
So much blame.
Exactly. A huge amount of blame. People do that to each other in their everyday lives. And so when you take that into a big population of people, absolutely. The other side is the demon. The other side is the monster. It's all their fault. And I think men consider it, this is a gross generalization, but I think men in power oftentimes think of listening as a weakness. You know, listening is not strong, it's weak. Compromising is not strong, it's weak. Being willing to take responsibility for your side is weak. That's the opposite of what we teach. There's leadership the kind of leadership we believe in, which is the leadership of coming from your heart, knowing who you are, being willing to listen, taking hard steps, so many things. That is so different than what leadership is defined as in the patriarchal world in which we live. I believe, Mary Charlotte, that I've said this many times, that there's going to be a tipping point in Israel and Palestine that's going to come from the younger generation. There are other organizations that do similar work to ours. It's not all with women. We're the only ones that I know of that do only with women. But they're working with young people. And what's going to happen, because the population of Israel and Palestine is not that large, what's going to happen eventually is that there are going to be enough young people that have a different idea about this that they're going to say, enough, enough. And then the dominoes are going to start falling.
Your word in dog's ear.
That's right. Inshallah.
Now, there's an event tomorrow night called Salam Shalom at 4:30 at the Santa Fe Farmers Market. What's going on there?
This is our public event of the summer. It used to be called Feast for Peace. Now we've changed the name to Salam Shalom. It's a celebration of Middle Eastern food and music and dance. And our young leaders will speak. And it'll be a chance for the people of Santa Fe and surrounding communities to meet all of our campers and our staff all in one place. It's always very festive. Lots of dancing. And it's just a celebration of the work that we're doing, and it gives all of our young women an opportunity to meet the community as a whole.
Dottie Indyke is Executive Director of Creativity for Peace. Shirit Milikovsky and Dima Youssef are young leaders. Thank you all so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you very much.